persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I trust you enjoyed your Christmas celebrations and your new year has gotten off to a good start. At the Lighthouse, we begin every year with what we call the Good Start Revival. This year, prayer evangelist Dr. Benny Beckham will return and be with us Sunday through Wednesday. And the Sunday service begins at 9:30 a.m. It continues Sunday night at 6 p.m. and then Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you saw Prayer Warrior, you'll want to sharpen your understanding of prayer. Hey, if we're going to see a change toward righteousness in our government in November, we're going to need people who know how to take hold of 2 Chronicles 7:14 by faith, where it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." All right, let's get into the first show for the new year. So, Trey Gowdy endorses Rubio. We shouldn't be too surprised. Trey's kind of waffled here and there. He's always had a problem seeing clearly when it comes to the issue of illegal migration. This endorsement from a Tea Party favorite is perhaps the reason Rubio thinks that he's now a front runner. Yeah, Rubio, a front runner in his own mind. Anyway, Cruz is surging in Iowa and nationally, by the way. Do you think the left is going to raise some dust over questions about eligibility? Let's talk about the eligibility question of natural-born citizen as it affects both Cruz and Rubio. A new surge of illegal migration is flooding our border with Mexico again. It calmed down there a little bit when Mexico on their side was upticking enforcement on their side. But anyway, most in this more recent surge are coming in from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Ostensibly, they are fleeing economic oppression and their socialistic governments, the kind of government Bernie Sanders wants us to have here, and drug cartel violence, the inability of their government to provide security, and so forth. However, members of the Border Patrol are suggesting that the recent surge in illegal crossing is news of relaxation of border control on our side now. Quote Chris Cabrera, the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, the Union for Border Patrol Agents, told the Daily Signal that immigrants from Central America seem to be responding to the new detention procedures. Quote, "I would say it's a major reason we're having the surge because people know we won't detain them and are going to release them," end quote. And that's Cabrera, Border Patrol agent stationed in McAllen, Texas. And continuing in this article for the Daily Signal, what's driving the latest surge of illegal immigration from Central America? Quote, Cabrera said the women and children usually seek out the Border Patrol rather than hide from them to ask for asylum protection. He said nearly all of them are claiming they have a credible fear of returning to their home country, end quote. So they know the rules and they use them to get in. Rubio has attempted to paint Cruz as soft on illegal migration. Now, I think that's been pretty well debunked. Cruz has been clear on his commitment to enforce the laws, including the laws regarding deportation. However, another question has been raised about Cruz's legal qualification to hold the office. Trump raised this question a while back. That was before he announced. I wonder if he'll make a run at this if Cruz gets the nomination or surges significantly ahead of him. After all the noise I made about Obama's eligibility, I would certainly be remiss if I did not speak to the question raised about Cruz and Rubio. Actually, I spoke to this a few years ago. Let's look at the question as it applies to Cruz. The Constitution is clear and unclear on this point. In Obama's case, remember, the question involved a lot of other complications. His mother renouncing U.S. citizenship by becoming Indonesian when she married Obama's father, Sotero, and then the confusion over where exactly Obama was born, Kenya or Hawaii. And I get it. It's settled in the mind of all of his supporters and most of those who don't want to be bothered with such a technicality. But for many of us, the question remains open, fraught with evidence of a forged birth certificate posted on the internet at one time. And I mean, it goes on and on. In other words, the smoke that Obama has blown all over this issue has intensified people's suspicions about his status. And I guess he succeeded at making it so confusing and so mucked up that people, most of them, have just shrugged their shoulders and walked away from it. But there's so much evidence of obfuscation on Obama's part with this question, one is left with either, you know, he cleverly stoked the flame on this issue as a distraction from what really matters about his origins, his early childhood influences, his association with known domestic terrorists, Bill Ayers and so forth, his Muslim faith, which he denied and then affirmed and then denied and then whatever. My point is that what is particularly different between Obama's birth scandal and the question that's being raised concerning Cruz is rather immense. However, there is a question that is raised about the definition of the expression natural-born citizen as it is found in the United States Constitution. Some constitutionalists are refusing to support Cruz for no other reason than this. According to their understanding of the term, he's not qualified to hold the office. I said the Constitution is clear and unclear. Well, what exactly does that mean? It's clear that the Constitution stipulates that to qualify for the office of President of the United States, one must have attained the age of 35 years, must have been a resident of the United States for at least the previous 14 years prior to holding the office, and must be a natural-born citizen. What is unclear is whether the term natural-born citizen requires one to be born on U.S. soil. For example, an American military family who gives birth to a child overseas. It has historically been held that in such cases, the child is considered a natural-born citizen of the United States, and you might remember the case of John McCain. Then you have the issue of an American family traveling abroad, and the wife is pregnant, and circumstances line up in such a way so that the child is born in another country. Well, these children have traditionally, historically, been considered natural-born citizens because the child was born to American parents. The citizenship in this case goes to the child from the birth parents. And then the question is raised whether both parents must be American citizens, or can citizenship devolve to the child from either of the parents? A child born to an American mother, say, and a foreign father raises the question whether such a child is half American. How does that work? Well, generally, it is agreed that such a child would be an American citizen, or that that child has a birthright to American citizenship. Now, we have a missionary to Mexico out of our church whose father was born in Mexico and his mother was an American citizen from birth. His father naturalized later. However, according to our laws, this brother is considered a natural-born citizen. Why? Because his mother was American. And in his case, he was born here in the States. Now, it comes down to this. The term natural-born citizen is taken to mean the child receives citizenship at birth and does not require naturalization to obtain citizenship. If, legally, the child has American citizenship at birth, the child is considered natural-born within the meaning of the term as it is used in the Constitution. At least, that is how it is in current law. Now, Ted Cruz has never equivocated on the issue of his birth. He released his birth certificate without any reservations and without any debate or scandal being stirred by it. Remember the nonsense we had to go through to get Obama to release his birth certificate? Well, that's not the case here with Cruz. The questions about the phony certificate posted on the internet and then later disavowed by the Obama administration and so on, or by the Obama team at that time, it was before he was president. I mean, there's absolutely no comparison between the two. Ted Cruz released his certificate and fully vetted this issue right up front. Now, his mother was and is an American citizen from birth. His father was Cuban. Now, Ted Cruz was born in Calgary, Canada. I think it was 1970. American citizenship was his birthright from his mother at the time of his birth. His father naturalized later. Now, because, according to U.S. law, Ted Cruz did not need to be naturalized in order to obtain U.S. citizenship, but needed only to claim a birthright that was his via his American mother's citizenship status at the time of his birth, well, Ted Cruz is legally considered a natural-born citizen. That is, he was a citizen at birth, or his citizenship devolves upon him by birth. In Obama's case, as I mentioned, there was so much subterfuge surrounding this whole issue. I mean, most of it due to his own reticence in releasing records related in any way to his birth. There were questions about where he was born. There were questions about whether his mother renounced her citizenship before he was born. There were questions about whether he applied for student loans as a foreign student. There are questions about his passport use, you know, dual citizenship. I mean, it goes on and on. And all of this generated by his own shuck and jive behavior regarding these questions. No, I'm not being racist. Shuck and jive, that's an expression used to describe intentionally misleading words and actions It does go back to the period of slavery when a slave would say, you know, yes, massa, or something like that, when really what he meant was, go meet the devil or something like that. Or when he would get real busy when the massa was looking and then get all lazy when he wasn't being watched. And it was called the old shuck and jive, all right? Well, the expression has come down to be adopted into non-Afro-American speech. And it is used to describe words and or behavior that are deceitful, used to hide true intentions or to hide the truth or to dodge responsibility. So no, it's not a racist slur. It's using an expression handed down to us by our black brothers and sisters, and it applies to white, red, yellow, black, and brown, and to socialist Hillary and to communist Bernie with all their shuck and jive. I mean, Hillary is a master of the old shuck and jive, her and Bill both. All of Obama's shuck and jive about his birth status and other records such as his travel and school records intensified suspicions about his eligibility. Whereas Cruz, there was no shuck and jive about it. He was forthcoming on the question. Anyway, I'll have to take a break. Hold on, and when I get back, I'm going to cut right through all the shuck and jive about all this, all right? It is more and more likely to come up as Cruz continues to gain in the polls and gain in national popularity. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. If you've got a piece of Pastor's mind stuck in your throat, there's only one way to get it out. Call 888-770-8000 and give him as big a piece of your own mind as you can find. Call 888-770-8000 and don't worry, Pastor Scheidbach can take it. Call 888-770-8000 and leave your message during the break. Your brain massage will continue in just a moment. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face with, to confront. The greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps it's been a while since you've experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Or perhaps you've never experienced God and he doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, you'll know that God is real. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Call 805-347-9887 for more information. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Want to reach a large, vibrant audience with information about your products and services who are eager to show their appreciation for supporting one of their favorite radio shows? The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Over the last 10 years, the Brain Massage Show has become a staple in our community with thousands who tune in every week. And now you can access this exciting audience with information about your goods and services. Call Janet Fisher at 503-9945. 503-9945.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Get ready for your brain massage. Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Hello, Happy New Year. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I'm dealing with the Ted Cruz eligibility question. He was born in Canada to an American mother and a Cuban father. The Constitution makes clear that one of the three requirements to hold the office of the President of the United States is the President must be a natural-born citizen. Our understanding of that language has really been sharpened through the debate over Obama's eligibility. We objected to Obama for many reasons, among them all the shuck and jive he gave us on, well, almost all of his personal records, such as college transcripts, travel on U.S. and allegedly foreign passports, application for student aid as a foreign student, a proven forged birth certificate posted on the internet at one time, the legal hoops we had to negotiate in order finally to compel him to release his birth certificate. All of this shuck and jive nonsense intensified suspicions about Obama's eligibility, and rightly so. And it certainly has served as a precursor, has it not? Revealing the pattern of subterfuge and deceit and shuck and jive that this president has been putting on us since he got into the office. I mean, this is the Shuck and Jive president, I'll tell you for sure. Conversely, and by the way, I explained what Shuck and Jive means in the last segment. I can't go over it right now. I don't have time, but anyway. Conversely, Ted Cruz released his certificate with no fanfare and fully vetted this issue right up front. He has never made any effort to hide the fact that he was born in Calgary, Canada, that his father was Cuban, and that his mother was a natural-born American citizen. The question is resolved in rightly understanding the meaning of the term natural-born citizen as it is used in the Constitution. Let's do some work on that. According to all current legal scholars, it refers to someone whose citizenship is conferred on them at birth or by virtue of their birth. It does not require that someone be born in America or on American soil. And according to law, at the time of Cruz's birth, it did not require that both parents be U.S. citizens. Legally, therefore, and I'm summarizing right now, American citizenship was his birthright from his mother at the time of his birth. His father naturalized later, and so because, according to U.S. law, Ted Cruz did not need to be naturalized in order to obtain citizenship, but needed only to claim a birthright that was his via his American mother's citizenship status at the time of his birth, Ted Cruz qualifies legally as a natural-born citizen. But let's take a closer look, as certainly many will. Constitutionally, we expect the term natural-born citizen to take the meaning it had at the time the term was used in the Constitution by our founders. In British law, a subject born to at least one British parent was considered subject to the crown, and it is thought that this would have been the understanding of our founders when they used the expression natural-born citizen. To support that, we find that in the first U.S. Congress in 1790, a law was passed that stipulated children born to American parents abroad were considered natural-born citizens at home. It is not clear whether both parents had to be American, but it seems likely this was the understanding since it was not stipulated otherwise, and that common law of Britain at that time and understood by the former British subjects claimed and held that a child born to at least one British parent was subject to the crown. However, there is some confusion about this perpetrated, I think, or perhaps by Obama's administration. At least it looks a bit that way. Follow along here. According to this document that I have in my never-to-be-stained with nicotine fingers, thank you, Rush, a document from the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, the USCIS, quote, in general, a child born outside the United States is a citizen at birth when the child's parents are married to each other at the time of birth, if, and then it gives two cases. Case number one, both parents are citizens of the United States at the time of birth, and at least one of them lived in the United States prior to the child's birth. And then case number two, one parent is a United States citizen, and the birth date is on or after November 14, 1986, end quote. Now, that is written in such a way as would disqualify Cruz, because Cruz was born before November 14, 1986. Isn't that interesting? And that's taken from the USCIS website, which site is tagged as an official website of the Department for Homeland Security. So very official, you see. Now, these date delimiters usually mark, you know, when a new law goes into effect. So I would expect that this means this was a new law that went into effect beginning November 14, 1986, so is applicable to those born that date or after. That seems awfully strange, though. I found another site that says the law, at the time of Cruz's birth, was, quote, one parent is a United States citizen at the time of birth, and the birth date is before November 14, 1986, but after October 10, 1952, end quote. Now, isn't that odd? That's like a contradiction here. So what's going on? Now, this, by the way, that I read to you, comes from a site that's, you know, just something answering the question. It's not an official government site, as was the one I quoted earlier. So I did some additional digging, you know, and I discovered that the official USCIS website seems to be terribly misleading. The date delimiters that I found on the summary page are not stipulated in the actual language of the policy manual within the document, and that's something else, by the way, to keep in mind. We're looking at a policy manual. We're not looking at congressional legislated law, all right? But in any event, it's supposed to reflect legislation. Here we go. Under Chapter 3, United States Citizens at Birth, A, general requirements for obtaining citizenship at birth, which gives you your general requirements, and then B, a child born in wedlock. Now, that would be to married parents, so that would be the section we'll look at for Cruz, because he was a child born to married parents. So, number one, both parents are U.S. citizens. Well, that wouldn't apply to Cruz, since only one of his parents was a citizen. And number two, a child of one U.S. citizen and one U.S. national. Well, that wouldn't apply either, since his father did not nationalize until later after his birth. So number three, a child of U.S. citizen parent and foreign national parent. Now, that's the case in which Ted Cruz would qualify. Let's look at the stipulations now. It goes on to read, quote, a child born outside of the United States and its outlying possessions acquire citizenship at birth if, at the time of birth, one parent is a foreign national and the other parent is a U.S. citizen and the U.S. citizen parent was physically present in the United States for at least 5 years, including at least 2 years after 14 years of age. End quote. So now that would qualify Cruz as a natural-born citizen. But why does the summary page to this site, where I got this information, an official Homeland Security approved site, why does a summary page on this include the limitation that the child in this case must have been born on or after November 14, 1986, when we see elsewhere that the language is on or before November 14, 1986 and after October 10, 1952? This is really weird. In any event, we remember that this is a policy manual. And, of course, it's guided by the policy of the administration, the current administration, Obama. It's not necessarily reflective of constitutional law or the constitutional meaning of natural-born citizen. So coming at it from a strictly constitutional point of view, it is reasonable to argue that according to the original understanding of our founders, someone born to at least one United States citizen receives a citizenship birthright from that parent. And if that is the case, then Cruz is qualified. You know, there's intriguing irony in the way history's shaping up. While we have a president who is a foreign usurper, ideologically, at least, if not biologically, who is normalizing evil in our time, normalizing relations with Cuba, normalizing relations with Iran, you know, without requiring any concessions to freedom or acknowledgement of their human rights abuses and promises to correct them or anything like this. We have a son of a Cuban-born lover of freedom and the Constitution who just might become our next president. All right, I need to begin the wrap-up. You are probably hearing more and more talk about a constitutional convention, or a convention of the states, COS, convened to rewrite the Constitution. I've read Levin's remarkable book, The Liberty Amendments, and I like it. I think it's great. And I've been following the debate on this for some time. I'm going to do a whole show on it, and perhaps one or two messages on the subject sometime this year. But let me go on record right now and say that what we need is to enforce and follow the Constitution we have, not rewrite it. It's like these guys trying to rewrite the Bible with all their versions and nonsense, you know. Leave it alone. Just read the one we have. Anyway, listen, if these yahoos won't enforce the laws we have, why should we think any law sacred? And another one I've slated for a message in the future is to show you from the Word of God the distinction between sacred law and secular law. I've not got time for that right now. But listen, do you know that George Soros has a constitution already written out for America? And yeah, and he's pushing this thing of a COS, Convention of the States. And the left, they want to undermine our current constitution and bring it in line with European notions about liberty. And folks, we need to oppose that with all of our might, and we need to remember the distinction between the sacred and secular. We're not talking about a theocratic government. I'll explain that when I preach that message I'm working on. But anyway, Bernie Communist Sanders wants to rewrite the Constitution, and Obama has been rewriting it by executive order, by fiat through executive order, and the courts have been rewriting it by fiat through their judicial activism. The fix cannot be to rewrite it now and allow these yahoos to get in there and rewrite it to conform to what they've been doing and the Soros and the Obama agenda to transform America. No, no, no. We must hold the line and insist these characters uphold the Constitution they swore to protect and uphold. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you call and tell me whether you see that they are on. Lights on or lights off. If you agree with what I'm saying, that means you're a lights on listener. If you disagree, you're lights off. And I fear it means the lights are off in your belfry. Now look, I've given you a chunk of my mind to chew on, and perhaps you're choking on it somewhat. Go ahead and give me a chunk of your mind to chew on. At least throw it out as much as you can afford. And I'm just playing with you. But give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888 770-8000, and I encourage my naysayers as well as my eye-sayers, all right? I mean, if you like what I'm saying and you want to encourage me for the year 2016, go ahead and call in and say, lights on. If you don't agree with what I'm saying and you feel that I'm wrong, and so fine, call in and say, lights off. And you can just do that and then hang up. Or if you like and you want to give me a piece of your mind to chew on, or you want to share your insights on these topics with me, please do so. Call 1-888-770-8000. Now leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. If you prefer to write me a letter, go to our website. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, www.thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll find a place there to write me an email. And you can send as long a letter as you like. I respond to all my email messages. Sometimes I get loaded up, you know, and it takes me a little while to get to them. So be patient, but I will get to you. Now, let me also invite you to attend our Good Start Revival. It begins Sunday morning at 9:30. Continues through till 12 noon, two separate services, one at 9:30, one at 10:45, and then at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And then Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. each evening, we have Dr. Benny Beckham, famous and beloved prayer evangelist, does an awesome job bringing to light insights from the Word of God on how to be effective in your prayer life. And if there was ever a time that we needed effective prayer warriors, it is now, especially as we enter into the last stretch in this race for the White House. Probably the most important election, certainly the most important election of my lifetime, and very likely the most important election for the history of America. So please join us Sunday through Wednesday for our Good Start Revival with prayer evangelist Benny Beckham. God bless you, my dear friends. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights-off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights-on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face with, to confront. The greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps it's been a while since you've experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Or perhaps you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015. And when you do, you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Call 805-347-9887 for more information. Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Jesus' followers were first called Christians about 12 years after the cross. After the last apostle died, a controversy over baptism divided the churches. One group practiced infant baptism. The other refused to accept it. The infant baptizers became the Catholic Church. The others became known as Anabaptists, which means to baptize again because of their policy to rebaptize believers coming from churches whose teachings they believed to be contrary to the Bible. The Catholic Church and later the Protestant churches persecuted the Baptists bitterly until the Baptist teachings of freedom of religion finally prevailed in America. We Baptists believe it is providential that we would come to be called after the name of the prophet who baptized our Lord, John the Baptist. These are some of the reasons the word Baptist is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road. Call 347-9887 for more information. That's 347-9887.